I'm Marty Moscoe-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. President Obama said higher education is not a luxury. Earning a post-secondary degree or credential is a prerequisite for 21st century jobs and one that everyone should be able to afford. And while many students graduate with significant debt, studies have shown that a college degree is a good investment. Today, Radio Times meet three area students who are among the first in their families to attend and graduate from college. Yesenia Gutierrez grew up in Florida. Her parents came to the U.S. from Guatemala and instilled the importance of education in their six children. Yesi is graduating from the University of Pennsylvania this spring, and nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Also with us is Tiana Oliver. She grew up in North Philadelphia. Her mother urged her to get a college degree. She graduates from Temple University next spring, the first in her family to graduate from college. Tiana, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And also with us is Hazim Hardiman. He grew up in North Philadelphia. His mother was determined that her son get a good education. He's graduating from Community College of Philadelphia. He'll be attending Temple University in the fall. Hazim, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations to all three of you. Let me begin with you, Yesi. Does it feel, or do you see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Definitely. I mean, I have less than a month left before graduation, so very excited.
And take us back to your freshman year. What were your expectations of college?
Yeah, I don't think I really formed expectations. I was so set on just getting to college, and then the fact that I got into Penn, that I was really blinded about what my experience at Penn would actually be like. And so once I got to my first class and my first week, it was definitely an adjustment once I realized, oh, nobody here speaks Spanish. I'm not going to hear it on the streets. And but I guess that didn't come until later.
Was it a hard adjustment for you, though?
It was. It was the first time I'd been away from home for a very long time. And again, I grew up in a very Latino neighborhood. So that was definitely an adjustment for me.
How about for you, Hazim? What got you thinking about college?
I always knew I wanted to pursue a degree in higher education. I didn't do as well as I wanted to in high school. I ran into some familial issues, which prevented me from devoting all my attention to my studies, but I always knew, I always had an affinity for education, and I knew that the community college would be a great place for me to, it would be a great incubator for me, whether socially, intellectually, academically, and I always put my eye towards that, and I knew that I would go there and get a head start on my studies, and I knew that I would continue to go there to progress and be able to go into a transition to a four-year university more smoothly.
Now, why did you always know that? I mean, was even as a little kid, you said, I'm going to go to college?
It's not really a message that was like kind of instilled in me, but I just always had a passion for education. I always enjoyed learning. And like, you know, from my background, my mother really instilled like the value of education in me. So from early on, I was able to escape the poor quality of the neighborhood schools. I was able to go to a first tier school. And I think that really shaped me as far as how I had an outlook on my education.
Where did you go to school then?
I went to Shawmont Elementary in Roxborough.
In Roxborough.
Yes.
And did you feel like you got a good education?
I feel like I had a fantastic education. Just the diversity of the environment, the resources that we had available to us, the extracurricular programs, and just the message of academic excellence that was preached to us in those type of schools, I think it really shaped me.
Janet, let me get you in on the conversation. When did you begin thinking about college for yourself?
Well, I thought about college in high school. I actually grew up in West Philly, not North Philly.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. And I attended Overbrook, and I was in the Scholars Magnet program, so I kind of tested into that. And from there, the counselors and teachers really pushed us to be, you know, gear up for college. We took AP classes, tested into college credit courses and things like that. But the driving force for me was also my mother, though she's no longer here. She really pushed me. She raised three young children by herself. She wanted to pursue her education and wasn't able to do so. So she instilled in me, Tiana, get your education, do what you have to do. And now that I'm a mother myself, I hold on to what she taught me. So now I'm pretty much setting the example for someone else. And that's really my driving force for, you know, pursuing my education.
And you have a seven-year-old?
I have a seven-year-old.
So what did your mom say to you?
She just really told me, no matter what you do, education is going to be your key to success. So as long as you have education, continue to learn, continue to grow. You don't have to stop at bachelor's. If you want to go master's, you want to go PhD, doctorate, whatever you want to do, do it. But make sure that you're continuously learning and you're growing yourself, and you'll always be successful.
And something that she, I guess, maybe wanted for herself, mm-hmm. but was not able to pursue an education for herself?
Yes.
And you're nodding your head, Hazim. Same for your mom?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things for my mother raising me was to afford me the opportunities that she wasn't afforded as a child. So she wanted to make sure I had a chance to experience all those things that she wasn't able to experience growing up.
And Jenna, again, going back, as you said, you were in a magnet program. You feel like you got a good education in the city?
I feel like I got a good education. I don't think I was 100% ready for the workload that college was going to afford me, but I feel like I was mentally prepared. And the education that I received at Overbrook in the Scholars Magnet program, I feel like I was prepared for the material.
You see, let me go back to you. And you're not from this. You're not from Philadelphia like the rest of us. You're from Florida. Mm-hmm. What kind of message did you get from your parents?
Yeah, my dad stopped school when he was in elementary school, or like the equivalence of elementary school. And my mother got to do some high school when she worked for a wealthier woman who supported her desire to go to school.
And this was in Guatemala?
This was in Guatemala. And so my mother, both my parents are very, very smart. And especially my mother really tried to go to school. And she was one of the older kids and had to take care of younger kids. And she was also a woman and expected to devote herself to the home. So for me and for all of her children, she really pushed that we at least finish high school. And then definitely the expectation was that you try to get some higher learning.
And how did she make that expectation available? What did she say?
She told us her story, and that was really enough for us to feel her desire and just know that everything that we have is thanks to her sacrifice, to both my parents' sacrifice and their love for us. And that really was enough for us to understand that we can help. As much as they give to us, we can also help them in the future.
I mean, as a takeaway from what the three of you were saying, I mean, you all are saying family is so important. I mean, it's sort of obvious, but the role that family and parents play is so important in helping a young person think about their future. Hazeem?
Absolutely. I think it's incredible. More specifically, my mother actually had to finagle a way to my education. So I grew up in North Philadelphia, and the neighborhood schools around me were not the best quality of schools. So she was able to get me bused out to a school that was in the outer region of Philadelphia. And she did this by having an address of a friend who gave the impression that I lived in the area, so I was able to go to that school. So I was able to escape that. And once they found out, I was actually excelling in the school, so they actually provided transportation for me, and they had no problem with me being there. So, and I think that really shaped my development tremendously.
But she worked the system, you're saying?
She worked the system. She did. She found a way. She said, by any means, I'm going to get you a quality education. And through that, I think my cognitive development has been shaped tremendously.
For you, Tiana?
Well, for me, at a young age, I transitioned from living with, you know, my mother to my maternal grandmother and then to my father. And with my father, I lived out of the city for a while, so in Westchester. And then I came back to West Philly and attended high school. But I saw a difference in the education that I received in Philadelphia and versus Westchester. And I think Westchester pretty much geared me up better than Philadelphia schools did for college. So,
I mean, was it expectations? Was it work level? Was it just maybe being around other people who were also thinking about college?
I think it was a combination of all three. I think the expectations and the workload, because the workload out in Westchester was definitely a lot greater than what I've experienced here in Philadelphia. So I feel like that kind of prompted me to be pushed into the Scholars Magnet program at Overbrook, because usually you have to test in, whereas because I came from a different school district and came back to Philadelphia, they were like automatically putting me into Scholars Magnet programs because my test scores were so high.
Did you have a good high school and elementary school experience in Florida, Missy?
I did. I didn't do any magnet. I got into gifted when I was in elementary school. And I think, you know, my high school offered, when I was there, I think they've cut back a little bit, but they had a variety of AP courses, honors courses. I had really good teachers that cared about me and made up for some deficiencies in the guidance counselors.
Oh.
Yeah, so, but overall the experience was good. I took as many AP courses as I could. I do think it could have been better. Do think it could have been more supportive. For example, I did end up taking two AP courses online, and that was not something that they particularly wanted me to do or expect or thought that I would be successful at, and I ended up getting fives, which is the highest you can get on both exams. So it was just the expectations, as you were saying, were not there. And that was the thing that I found most frustrating about my high school.
How about for you, Hazeem? I mean, were there teachers there that sort of like your mom, you know, believed in your future?
Absolutely. I think in elementary school, I really excelled. But as I was saying, in high school, I really hit a rough patch. And I graduated with an incredibly low GPA due to family issues. Uh-huh. My attention was diverted from education because of a number of things. I had a lot going on at that time in my life. But there were always teachers there who saw the potential in me to excel as an academic, and they always encouraged me to, no matter what, just continue to go on. And at the time, because my immediate family is here in Philadelphia, just my mother and my brother and I, and the rest of my family is in Atlanta, Georgia. So at the time, during, I believe, my sophomore year of high school, my mother had to go back to Atlanta, Georgia to attend to some of her family members, her mother specifically. And it was kind of like that responsibility that I was held accountable was gone. So I was living with my sister and my brother, who are not much older than me. And at that point, education was really put on the back burner.
Sure.
But then when I got to the Community College of Philadelphia, my mother was back. The family issues were no longer something that plagued me. And I was able to kind of get back on track and put my attention to the right things.
And did teachers know kind of what was going on with you and your family so they could at least be, if not understanding, maybe supportive?
Absolutely. I think it's kind of hard to be supportive when, like, because it was bad. I was ultimately truant, and I was missing a lot of schools. But you always had those teachers who, like I said, saw the potential in you. And I think I got better during my 12th grade year, and that's when I really understood that I was gearing up for a long academic journey in higher education. And by the time I got to CCP, I had a strong support system behind me. I had people who gave me incredible advice about how to take on this academic endeavor of what I wanted to do at the Community College of Philadelphia. And I think now I have incredible mentors as well.
And for you, Tiana, did you feel support from your larger family, the community, for what you were doing, for having your eyes set on college?
My family is kind of touch and go with it. I think because they haven't experienced it, don't really know what to ask me. They'll ask me, you know, how is school if they see me. But to really kind of invest and stay on top of me and ask me, you know, what's going on, what's this, what's that, I don't really get that. Mm-hmm. In high school, I did have my my academy coordinator, Nancy Beener, and I love her dearly.
What's her name again?
Nancy Beener.
Okay,
so she's listening.
Okay.
Dean Bean, I love you. She really pushed me because there was a point in high school where I was really volatile and angry being separated from my mother and living with my father, and that wasn't something that I was used to. And I got in a lot of fist fights, but my grades were always, I always had great grades.
Oh, interesting.
And she really, really pushed me, and she worked with me. She instilled in me, listen, this is what you need to do. And I'm really thankful for her because I think I probably would have went a little bit left if it wasn't for Ms. Beener. So
she kind of kept you on the straight and narrow?
She kept me on the straight and narrow.
Even though maybe, at the time, did you appreciate what she was doing?
At that time, no. It wasn't until about 12th grade that I really understood what she was trying to do for me, and I'm glad that she did.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking with three college students here who go to school here in the Philadelphia area. They are, if not the first to graduate from college, the first to attend college. And the voice you just heard is Tiana Oliver. She grew up in West Philadelphia, and she is going to be a senior at Temple University, the first in her family to graduate from college. Hazeem Hardiman is going to graduate from Community College of Philadelphia very soon, and he'll be attending Temple University in the fall. And also with us is Yesenia Gutierrez, and she will be graduating from the University of Pennsylvania this spring, and she grew up in Florida. You can send us, in fact, already questions coming in. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, talking about first-gen college students. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Yessi Gutierrez, Hazeem Hardiman, and Tiana Oliver about their college experiences. They are the first or among the first in their families either to go to college or, in the case of Yesenia, to graduate from college. And that's the topic for this hour of Radio Times. And I see questions and comments coming in at radiotimes@whyy.org. And again, you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Hazeem, let me just go back to you. What, as you said, you kind of grew up in a rough neighborhood in North Philadelphia. When you look at your friends or neighbors, I mean, have they been supportive of you? Do they understand what you're trying to do for yourself?
Absolutely. I think my friends, excuse me, they're incredibly supportive of what I do. They really admire it. They see that I had a chance to opportunity, and they see that I'm taking advantage of that opportunity. I think a lot of times I've been really removed from where I've grown up.
Well, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I've been really removed from where I've grown up for quite some time now. And I think that's something that's also impacted me tremendously, because when I went to high school in North Philly, I knew a lot of people. So when you know a lot of people, you start hanging with a certain crowd of people. And it's kind of hard to get away from those people because they're in your neighborhood, then you see them at school, so you have this relationship with them. And that's not to necessarily say that they're all bad. I have right. friends who are in higher education as well. But I feel like my friends who are going to venture off to do other things, I feel like they've always been incredibly supportive of me.
Did you remove yourself, or it just sort of happened? You kind of were on a different track, and so you sort of ended up living in a slightly different world?
I think my mother really seen that it was necessary to mm-hmm. remove us from the environment that we really grew up in. We were able to do that by first moving to Atlanta, but my mother, she was like culture shock when we moved to Atlanta, so she had to come back to Philadelphia. She couldn't, like, being in an urban city for so long. She's from Atlanta, but she's been in Philadelphia for 33 years now. So we moved back, and then we instantly moved back to Philadelphia. And at that time, that's when I was able to move to a different area of the city where it was less familiarity with the people who were in the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how much is, as you said, Tiana, you lived in Westchester for a while, Philadelphia for a while. How important is it to have a supportive community?
It's really important. It's very interesting because even living in Westchester and Philadelphia, a lot of my Westchester friends happen to be Temple students and graduates. And most of my, you know, friends from Overbrook in the West Philly area are college graduates or college students. So they're really, really supportive. They understand. A lot of them have children as well. So it's pretty, I guess it's easy for me. Mm-hmm. Because at Overbrook, in that academy, the Scholars Magnet, we move through the grades together. So I have pretty much like a set community of people that, you know, I was familiar with and that I was friends with. And I kept them even after high school. So it was pretty easy for me.
In order to have that around you. You see, let me go back to you. And even going back to your time at the University of Pennsylvania, I'm assuming it's kind of a different experience than you get at Temple University or Community College of Philadelphia, where there probably are a number of first-generation college students. Is that true at Penn?
I think I may have a skewed view because of the clubs that I decided to join, where I do know a lot of first generations, but we also tend to seek each other out. So I don't think there are that many first-generation students at Penn. I know that they're really trying to, but I think there is that perception that that is not the school that you aim for when you're just trying to go to college. And I know that I'm part of a group that went to, it's called IVG, which is the Ivy League First Generation Student Conference. And the group that went to the conference, we're starting a student group that is going to serve as a support network, basically, for first generation students, because it's not an issue that's talked about very much at Penn, whereas mm-hmm. it influences just about everything that you do while you're there. But that hasn't been really talked about. But there's a lot of interest in finding that community at Penn. So that's starting up.
And how about just money? I mean, the fact that you're going to school with kids who come from family, they may not be like the 1%, but they probably come from a lot of middle class professional families. It's a sort of view of money different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it manifests in ways big and small. Just the fact that the whole craze with like the Canadian geese like coats and stuff, and just finding out how much that money that
people are actually wearing.
Yeah, they're all over campus, and the fact that when I find out how much they cost, they're like a couple $100, and just the fact that there's like hundreds of these coats on campus, like things like that, or just, you know, if my charger breaks during finals, I have to talk to financial aid or talk to one of the cultural centers to see if somebody can lend me one or get a replacement, because I might not have enough in my bank account. I can't really like ask my parents for that. So I think it's a lot of little things that kind of add up to this experience of you're a little bit different from the average Penn student.
And Azeem, when you're at community college, I mean, is being a first generation college student, is that unusual?
No, I would actually say it's maybe normative. I think a lot of the students are going there for maybe a second chance, or a lot of students are going there because they don't know exactly what they want to do, so they're using CCP as kind of like a path to where they want to go. So I believe it's very common to be a first-generation college mm-hmm. student at the Community College of Philadelphia.
And you don't see the fancy coats that Yessie was talking about?
Probably so not. They're probably not as prevalent on this campus.
How about for you, Tiana?
First-generation students at Temple, it's the norm.
It's the norm.
It is the norm. Most people are, you know, come from the area, the North Philadelphia area or the West Philadelphia area, and are below the poverty line, and they're just trying to find a way to make their life better. And they're choosing higher education. And it's particularly it's common in my major as a criminal justice major, so you see that a lot. And it's definitely the norm.
Well, that's because you're a criminal justice major, mm-hmm. and you're saying it's not unusual for your fellow students in that major to be first gens?
It's not unusual at all. It's common. It's very rare that I find someone whose family has a lineage of, you know, higher education. Right. It's usually, I'm a first-year student. I see the issues in the criminal justice system within our city, and I want to do something about it because I come from those areas that are affected by the issues that are presented in, you know, in our criminal justice system. So it's definitely the norm.
And that's the reason why you're a criminal justice.
And that's the reason why I'm a criminal justice major.
Right. And you're a Latin studies major?
Yeah, the full title is Latin American and Latino Studies major. Right. And then I have a minor in bio.
Right. And why did you pick that?
Both of them are.
Well, sure. Why not?
So I started with bio and then started taking Latin American Latino Studies courses and fell in love with it. Got to learn more about Latin America, and I am from a Central American family, but I'm very interested in pan-Latin American solidarity. So it was interesting to learn about other cultures. And then bio, I was pre-vet I wanted to be a veterinarian since I was like six.
Really?
I'm not sure I'm going to pursue that because I want to work in nonprofits right now, but I still have that science background.
And you're a communication major, right?
Yes, I'll be going on to study strategic communications.
And so what do you imagine yourself doing?
I imagine somewhere along the lines of my professional career, I plan to devote myself to a career of social activism. So that's why I'm going on to Temple to study rhetoric and public advocacy.
You said yes, right, Tiana?
Yeah, nice.
A question from Kevin. In fact, this is for you, Tiana. Did you have family support while attending school? It seems like it's hard for moms with kids to try to juggle school and childcare. We could do a whole hour on that.
You could do a whole. You could really do it. You could do a lot on that subject.
Yes, indeed.
Family support with my son, it's touch and go. I could probably use a bit more support, but I make do with what I have. And as Hazim said with his mom, I'm a mom. I work the system to work for me and my child so that I'm able to, you know, have him in some type of aftercare and enrichment programs while I'm attending class. It's even to the point where if my class, I have a 5:30 to 8 class this semester and he has to be picked up by 6 and I have no one to pick him up. I leave my 4:50 class that ends at 4:50. I go get my son. I go back to my 5:30 class and he sat there with me for a better part of maybe 80% of the semester, and the professors were fine with that. Most of the professors in the criminal justice department at Temple are really supportive. They know my face. I talk to, you know, different professors, and I build that network, and they're okay. You know, if he's not there, oftentimes they'll ask me, you know, where's Jaden? Like, where's he at today?
So. You want to say something, Yessie?
Yeah, I just think that that's a really important message to send to first-generation students, that they should reach out and, like, not be afraid to tell their professors, their faculty, their staff, what's going on in their lives. Like, they're there to support you, and that I think that for me, that was one of the biggest barriers when I got to Penn, was just realizing that everything that school had was there for me and that I could take advantage of it, and that asking for help was not a discredit to me being there. It was every single person at that school needs help. Every single person at any university needs help. Like, studying is hard, learning is hard. And so that's a really good message to send, that everybody needs help and to seek it out.
And you're nodding your head as well.
I absolutely agree. I think we all understand the message, but we don't always put it into practice. I can say that I'm here today because of a mentor that I've come into contact with while at the Community College of Philadelphia. And I think building those relationships with your professors, the people who want to see you do best, the people who are helping you accomplish what you want, what you came to achieve while you're in higher education, I think building those relationships is really important.
Well, I would also think if you're not familiar with a college campus, sort of even just thinking that way can be a kind of a revelation, a new way of sort of thinking about, this is, as you said, Yasi, they're here for me. You know, they're here for me, and it's up to me to try to make it work for me as well. Mm-hmm. Let me just quickly reintroduce everybody. Talking about college for first-generation college, either graduates in the case of Yessie Gutierrez, and for first-generation attendees in the case of Hazim Hardiman and also Tiana Oliver. And we have a tweet from Ron who says, my late mom got her GED enrolled in CCP. I was first-gen too, and her efforts influenced me today. I have 2 degrees. I grew up in North Philadelphia. My mom sent me to Conwell, which sent me on the path to higher ed, encouraged by these young people. That's to the 3 of you. Again, I see this theme. You had people who mattered to you, who encouraged you. As you said, Tiana, you have a 7-year-old. Sounds like if he's sort of going to school with you at Temple, he's going to get used to that environment.
I want to go to Temple. He's gung-ho.
He's got the red sweatshirt.
He has a Temple hoodie. He has a Temple hat, and he literally wears his hat every day. He's excited about it. So I'm glad to see that me going to college is pretty much instilling in him already from, you know, such a young age that, hey, I want to go to college. I want to do something. I want to progress in my life. And I'm happy that he's happy, especially coming from where I'm from, that he's excited about education, because you don't really get that anymore. So I'm really excited about that. And I can't wait to see what happens with him and where he decides to go. Hopefully he stays at Temple, because that's what he's saying right now. But he's seven, so that might change.
Yeah, exactly. We have an email from Gary. Do you believe a mentorship program at your high school would have helped if your parents were not there? It seems the schools have played such an important role as family. Do you want to take that, Yessi? And then, Hazim, I'd like to hear actually from the three of you.
Yeah, I think this would be really helpful. I can speak from personal experience that my first 2 years at Penn, I went back during breaks and talked to people. I talked to some teachers that I had and said, are you willing to let me go to your classroom and speak to students? And, you know, I was the only one to go to Ivy League that year. And then my sophomore year, two people from my high school went to Penn. So that hadn't happened before. So I know that it definitely helps in just making them think that that's a place that they can actually apply to and afford, and that financial aid will be able to cover their need.
We didn't talk about money yet.
It definitely helps.
How about for you, Hazim?
I think as a surrogate for your family support, I think that can really be effective. I think oftentimes you're more receptive to what your peers are saying because you feel like you have some commonality between you and them because of maybe age or whatever type of demographical stuff. I think you're often willing to listen to them more than maybe you're willing to listen to family and somebody who's going through something with you. I think you often can get more support like that.
I mean, do you see young people in your neighborhood that you just think, gosh, you know, if only someone had cared more, perhaps they would be in my situation?
Absolutely. I think I'm incredibly gifted in terms of the opportunities that I had, and I feel bad sometimes knowing that these people, nothing is wrong with them. They just weren't afforded the same opportunities that I was afforded, you know, and that's why I wanted to devote my life to a career of social activism and helping everybody get the opportunity that I was afforded, or at least better opportunities.
Jenna, do you feel pressure? I mean, over the years, have you felt pressure sort of being the first to graduate next year from college?
Excuse me.
To kind of stay on track?
I do feel pressured. It was a period where I was out of Temple for about 2 years, and it was a struggle to get back. Like, I fought to get back. I fought for financial aid. Like, they didn't want to give me my financial aid back. So I had to really fight to get back into school. And I'm glad that I did, because I feel like if I didn't, I would have just fell by the wayside. I don't know what I would be doing. I don't know if I would have the impact on my child that I do today. And I don't really feel pressure from family. I feel pressure from just being a mom, and I'm responsible for somebody else's life. So I have to do something with myself to ensure that you're okay, because I'm now responsible for you. And that's where the pressure comes in. So every day that I get up and I go to either to work or I go to school, he's my main motivation. He's my focus. What can I do today to make myself better to ensure that he's okay?
And did you need those couple of years, whatever you did? I mean, did you need those years to sort of get yourself prepared?
I feel like it slowed me down a little bit, and I did do a lot of, self-discovery, and I learned things about myself and how to come back and rework my schedule so that I can get better grades, because there was a period, you know, where I was getting not so great grades and I wasn't managing my time well. And that 2 years pretty much gave me the opportunity to really manage my time, build structure, and then I came back in spring of 2013 and I just took off running, and it's been great since then.
I mean, Hazim, you mentioned in high school there was, I mean, it seems like there were some ups and downs in the family which affected your performance in school.
Absolutely. I think that's not just something that's germane to me. It's something that's germane to a lot of inner city youth. We all go through stuff, and maybe people like our teachers aren't able to see what we're going through outside of the classroom. So that can become a huge obstacle to our academic success. I know for me personally, my family was kind of broken up during that time of period when I was like in the thick of high school. So like my attention really couldn't be in the classroom. You know, I had to focus on really important, really survival things, you know. So I thought that really took my attention away. But once again, my family did come back together, and I was able to complete my high school and then going on to college.
Gotcha. Do you feel pressure? You have siblings that have graduated from college, but do you feel a kind of responsibility to your parents, Yessi?
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe in a good way, right?
No, yeah. I think it's a very positive pressure. I love my family, and I'm so grateful for my parents for sharing their stories with me about, you know, just their desire for us to have a better life, you know, uprooting their lives to come to another country. So it's definitely a positive pressure in terms of I know that education was something that would help me and help my family back in Central America. I think my brothers also, just seeing them, one of my brothers graduated with civil engineering, one from with statistics. And so just knowing that, just seeing somebody and knowing that I could do it, and those are really hard majors, and just knowing that I could do it too.
Are they going to be able to come up for your graduation?
I'm actually not sure. We're still figuring that out.
Yeah.
But my parents are for sure coming. So,
A tweet from Khalif. He says, "Your guests are examples of what our city or what our society should be supporting." I'm reading all these positive emails because I want you to know what people are thinking as they're listening to you talk. I mean, do you feel exceptional, Tiana?
I don't feel exceptional. I just feel like I'm doing what I have to do to make, you know, life for me and my child what it needs to be so that he's okay. And I know I sound repetitive, but that is just my main focus, to make sure that he has a plentiful life and he's all right. If nothing else goes right for me, just go right for him. And if that means that I have to go to school, I have to work multiple jobs, I have to keep going to school to make sure that he's okay, I'll do that. And, you know.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation. And let me open up the lines as well. We are talking with three young people who are attending college here in the Philadelphia area, among the first in their families to either go to college, graduate from college, and to join our conversation. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. And again, 1-888-477-WHYY. The email comments continue to come in, radiotimes@whyy.org. And again, you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Questions or comments, stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen talking with Yessi Gutierrez. She's a senior at the University of Pennsylvania, the outgoing ambassador to Brown University's IVG group, which is a consortium of first-generation students graduating with a major in Latin American studies, a minor in biology, among the first in her family to go to college. Also with us is Hazim Hardiman, and he's a sophomore at Community College of Philadelphia. He'll be attending Temple University in the fall, a major in strategic communications with a focus on public advocacy. And Tiana Oliver is a senior at Temple University. She'll be graduating in a year, and she is majoring in criminal justice. All three of them telling us about their experiences as first-generation college students. And again, call us at 1-888-477-9499. Email us at radiotimes@whyy.org and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Tiana, have you also had to work? I mean, you're a mom, you're in school. Do you also have a job?
I have two.
You have two jobs.
I work for the Franklin Institute, so come on down and come see us.
And, what do you do there?
Check out Art of the Brick. I am in admissions ticketing, so I'll plan your day. If you come in, you'll see me. and then I also work at Lincoln Financial Field as event staff.
Oh, wow. So how many hours do you work in a week, would you say?
Right now, since the season for the Eagles isn't, you know, hasn't opened yet and the special events aren't going on, right about now, maybe like 30.
Wow.
At the Franklin Institute.
And, and are you a full-time load, full load at Temple?
Mm-hmm, full-time.
And then a young child as
and
well.
And a young child.
You're a busy girl.
Yes, I am.
And Hazim, how about for you? Do you work?
Well, fortunately, I haven't had to bear the burden of having a full-time or even a part-time job. I do work for the Community College of Philadelphia, though, as the vice president of our Student Government Association.
And how about for you, Yessi?
Yeah, part of my financial aid packet is a work-study grant, so I have a work-study position with a local nonprofit called Media Mobilizing Project.
And do you find that, I'm going back to Penn, because, you know, Penn is an Ivy League school, so it attracts a certain kind of student. Do you find students are interested in you? I mean, that they sort of want to know more about you, where you came from, or you just feel like you're part of the student body?
Yeah, I don't think there's any particular interest in my story. I think Penn tries to get as diverse a student body as possible. It can definitely be more diverse, but everybody has an interesting story to tell, and I don't think I stand out in that way of like, oh, you're a novelty or anything like that, because, for example, people are like international or people have really interesting like internships or stuff like that. So there's always, everybody has a story, so I don't think necessarily.
Right. Let me read a comment from Frizzell. It's a long one. A first-generation college student myself who went to Philadelphia Public Schools, graduated in 2000, subsequently graduated from Temple. There seems to be a theme here. The biggest roadblock I encountered trying to convince my peers to pursue college was racially motivated, where African-American students, I am African-American, saw education and being smart as being white. If any of the guests attended Philadelphia Public School, how do they overcome this, and how do they propose we break this internalized view of higher education and college as being un-African-American? Let me toss that first to you, Hazeem. Can you relate to that?
Yes, I think, although I do think the notion of Black culture as anti-intellectual is kind of like blown out of proportion. I just think that they've been so immersed in something and their experience has thoroughly conditioned them to not want to pursue these educations, whether it's become the poorest schooling, whether it's because they don't have that support system, whether they're not receiving the message in the neighborhood of, oh, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But every chance I get, I promote good education. I promote the pursuing of education. And it's kind of hard because people are doing other things and people say, oh, I'm not you. I can't do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I always promote education, and I say that it's never too late to get your education. I always try to encourage my friends to go to the Community College of Philadelphia, which welcomes all students with open arms. And, I'm a very staunch advocate of education.
Well, how do you relate to that email comment?
Yeah. I think it goes back to community, and it depends on the community in which you come from. And your home life. Community-wise, education wasn't really pushed for me, but it was pushed in my home because my family wanted more for themselves. As he said, I do think that, you know, the African-American community kind of has this perception that it's anti-intellectual, and that is very true. Most people, like I said, in families are not promoted to go to higher education, high school, get a job, and then take care of your family. It's not pushed in the home. Mm-hmm. And I think that it should be. And it starts with, I guess, you know, it's that tumbleweed effect. Yeah. You have to, like now, I'm a student. I'm instilling in my child, go to school, get your education, and work and do what you have to do. And hopefully he'll carry that into the next generation and teach his children so that there can be some turnover and that education can be promoted within, you know, the African-American communities in Philadelphia.
What do you think, Yessie?
Yeah, so I'm not African-American. I'm Latina, first-generation American. But I went to a school that was predominantly minority students. And I have to say that I also think a lot of it is on the schools, the teachers, the counselors. The expectation is not there. The encouragement is not there.
You saw that?
I definitely saw that. I had to, my mother had to fight because they wanted to take out my sister when she got pregnant because I guess it looked bad, and she had to fight to say, no, my daughter is going to stay in high school. And so it's things like that, or things like not wanting me to take online classes that weren't offered at the school and just saying, like, you're not going to succeed in them. And just these expectations are something that so many students face, and it's easy when everybody's telling you that you're not going to be as successful as other students to believe that. So I think it's a combination of factors, and we can't ignore the fact that we have to have like good encouraging guidance counselors. And in Philadelphia, where like guidance counselors aren't even, you know, a lot of schools don't even have guidance counselors again. Like, where is the support that these students are going to get to believe that they can go to college?
Yeah, and some schools have maybe one or two guidance counselors for maybe 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
Hazeem, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's beneficial to collectively say, oh, these people aren't interested in pursuing a degree in higher education. Like, we all have our personal stories, and we all have somewhere along the line where education was kind of instilled in us. And I think anytime you're looking at the people from those inner city communities, you have to look at them individually and say, well, who's in their support system? What institutions are encouraging them to pursue a higher education?
You want to add to that, Tiana?
I think you're right. I think it depends on the individual. It depends on, you know, the support system. And I think that's where the problem comes in. We don't have support systems. And I guess where, as we said, with the mentorship programs at school, you kind of have to develop your own support system, your own circle of friends, your own family. And I kind of had that at Overbrook. I developed my own family within our Scholars Magnet program. And that is what really pushed me. Like I said, our counselor, we had one counselor for the entire school.
Wow. How many students there?
I think it had to be at least 1,200 at Overbrook.
One
350
counselor?
Was in my graduating class, and we literally had one counselor. And I think I saw her maybe twice my entire high school experience. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Let me get, looks like Sarah from Washington Square to join our conversation. Hi, Sarah, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Hi, Sarah. Yes, you're on the air.
To be graduate. Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, we've had a lot of questions, a lot of topic conversations come up, and I think we should take a second or a minute or so to recognize how truly incredible the three of you are. I mean, Tiana, a few minutes ago when you were talking about, you know, doing whatever you have to do for your son, Jaden, and that kind of selflessness is really not present in most people that are adults that have been through jobs and been through families, you know. So just the fact that you can display that now at this young age is incredible. And Haseem, you're going on to do social justice. You're only a sophomore. The fact that you know what you want to do, you're going to be, you know, so incredible at that. And you're certainly going to change the world. And, Yessi, you know, I think it's incredible that you steered off that path that, you know, maybe you thought you wanted to do at six, but you're where you came from and that you're going to make a difference with that. And I just wanted to say I'm a Penn graduate. I'm finishing up Temple Medical School, sort of bringing the Quakers and Owls together here.
Good for you, Sarah.
Congratulations.
I'm not a first generation at all. You know, I had that privilege, and it really wasn't a question of whether I was going to college. But I just wanted to congratulate the three of you and saying, you know, just the fact that you've done what you've done up until this point, you could stop and still make a difference. And I know that you won't stop. I know that you have that drive to keep going. And I think that is truly, truly incredible.
Well, Sarah, it's great that you called in. And it's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this show, which is to highlight the accomplishments of these three people and, frankly, of the other young people that they represent as well. Sarah, thanks so much for calling into the show. Anyone want to say anything back to Sarah?
Sure. I think one of the byproducts of being immersed in higher education is it illuminates the opportunity that you have. And you just have a desire to be able to provide other people with that opportunity because you know that you've done these incredible things. And if only people had the chance, they can also go on to do some incredible things.
Yessi?
Yeah, I do think that these stories, hearing both of your stories is amazing. I also want to acknowledge the fact that these stories are something that, like, we probably have grown up with, like, people like this, like, overcoming these odds. And I just want to say, like, I for example, the question earlier, like, I don't see myself as exceptional. I see myself as having had, like, a little bit of extra luck or, like, a little bit of extra, like, push or whatever it was that pushed me here. But I think that my community is full of people like me that didn't have that access. Like, not everybody can go to Penn because Penn is purposely exclusive, right? Like, it's a low acceptance rates and things, right? And that's part of the appeal. So I think that it's really about, like, supporting everybody so that everybody can have these opportunities.
Yeah. Do you want to add to that, Tiana?
Absolutely. I think, you know, sitting here, I'm just kind of taking it all in. I think everybody sitting here is amazing. And thank you, Sarah, for your comments about selflessness. I think everybody sitting here is pretty selfless because you're doing it not just for yourself, but you're doing it for your family to pretty much instilled it, hey, if I did it, even if you're old, young, you can do exactly what I'm doing. It just takes a little bit of drive and a little bit of ambition, and you can do it. So I applaud everybody here.
Mm. What advice would you have, I mean, now that you're experts in being first-generation college students, what advice would you have for incoming students? Yes, if I can toss it maybe back to you. As you said, you got there and it was like, wow, you know, this is a different kind of place from where I grew up.
So incoming, like, freshmen.
First gens.
Yeah, get to know your campus. Reach out to one person, and that person can show you a lot of other opportunities. But it's really hard to talk to that first professor or that first staff member, but it can make a world of difference, and I wish that I had done that earlier.
Oh, interesting. How about for you, Haseem?
One of the messages that we have at the Community College of Philadelphia Student Life Program, our Student Life Department, I should say, is do more than go to class. So once you get in your foot in the door, of course, everything is going to be subsidiary to your academics, but try to do more than go to class. Try to be involved in clubs and organizations. Try to be involved in student leadership, because that not only does it augment your college experience, it also helps you forge those relationships with other people who are going through the same things that you're going through that you can reach out to for support.
So what else have you done?
I'm the vice president of our Student Government Association. I'm the president of our Communications Club. I'm the vice president of our International Business Honor Society, and I'll stop there.
Okay. Long list. For you, Tiana.
If I pick it back off of what Haseem says, if you can get involved in some type of organizations, do so. Unfortunately, I have too much on my plate.
I was going to say, you have a lot on your plate.
I can't do it, but if I could, I absolutely would. Also, I tell people, work on your time management skills. Get yourself on a schedule so that, you know, you can balance everything and you don't feel like you're so stressed out. But also have a social life. Definitely be into your books, but also remember to take time for yourself and build your social life. Have fun. College is a great experience. If you're just working all the time, you're really not going to enjoy it. So definitely, definitely keep your social life.
She says with a chuckle. I'm not sure when you fit that in, but that we'll deal with that later. Let me get, looks like Carbine from Newtown to join us. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Both my wife and I are products of the public school system, and our encouragement were our parents who said that regardless of your outcomes, education is the key to success.
And we're getting four nods here because I'm nodding as well. I mean, do you believe that? I mean, in certain ways, you're living it, Hazim.
Absolutely. I think education is the key to, like, social mobility. I think education isn't just enough, though. You have to go out, and you have to educate yourself informally as well. So in that way, you can empower yourself to do whatever you want to do, even if it's not through your education, through a formal institution like schooling, like higher education. You just have to empower yourself by educating yourself.
We've done a number of shows, and Carbine, thanks for the call to Radio Times, a number of shows about the sort of amount of debt that college students often have. Jana, you're giving me this look. and I'm sometimes worried that the takeaway is it is too expensive, certainly very expensive, but it keeps kids away, young people away from getting a college education because of just the cost and the debt that might follow you after you graduate.
It does, and I think it serves as a deterrent for some people. A lot of people aren't aware of the amount of help that you can receive for your education. So if you can do scholarships and you apply for them and you apply yourself and your GPA is great, you'll get help. Financial aid for me, I know I'm an independent student, so I'm a little bit different because I have a dependent. So I'm afforded more financial aid because I take care of someone else. So for me, I can't really say I have a problem with getting financial aid. Mm-hmm. Is I am a little wary about the amount of loans that I'm going to have when I graduate. It's not too high, but in my field, I always have employment, so I'm not really worried about paying that back. For me, it's just, you know, get that degree and really go for what I want to do with that degree. And that, for me, is beneficial. The money, I can take care of that later.
Have you always been such a optimist?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've pretty much been that way all my life.
How about for you?
Well, I actually chose Penn among the schools I got accepted to because of their financial aid. They do need blind, I believe they call it, and they meet full need for families that make under a certain level of income. So that was the tipping point of me saying, I want to go to Penn. Because financial aid is number one on most first-generation low-income students' minds.
And you're nodding your head too, Hussie.
Yeah, and just receiving that information, she was enlightened to that fact, and people that have the opportunity to go to a school like a Penn may not know that, so that may serve as a deterrent for them to even apply to that school.
Well, what I hear from the three of you is the importance of family, the importance of support, and the importance of just taking the best advantage of the opportunities that exist at a college or university. My thanks to all three of you for joining us today in Radio Times, telling us about your lives, I think inspiring us all. Yessi Gutierrez, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And congratulations on graduating in a couple of weeks from the University of Pennsylvania. Hazim Hardiman, thank you very much as well.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And he is going to be graduating from Community College of Philadelphia, also in a couple of weeks, attending Temple University in the fall. And also to you, Tiana Oliver, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Marty.
And she will be graduating from Temple University in a year. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show, how to find us on Facebook, and how to follow us on Twitter. I'm Marty Moscoyne. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.